This episode of the Mighty Parenting Podcast is sponsored by Inward Bound Mindfulness Education, IBME. Inward Bound Mindfulness Education believes young people deserve our best attention and support. And in order to create that support, they provide in-depth mindfulness programs for teens and young adults, helping them learn awareness, compassion, and concentration practices on retreats and during summer courses. And they have everything online for summer of 2020. IBME's mindfulness practices help with deep listening skills, self-awareness, and communication, essential competencies for success in all areas of life. And now they've expanded their offerings for adults, including a summer course for parents. You can find out about this and more at IBME.com, IBME.com. When you get there on the main page, you'll see a spot where you can enter your email address. Do that so you stay updated on programs and events and find out about new course offerings. Then if you look just above that, a little to the right, there is a beautiful nature photo and it says new courses and offerings, new online courses and offerings. Click that picture and it'll take you straight to what they have so you can see what's happening to help you and your teen this summer. This podcast is brought to you by Versity. Versity is an organization that provides blood to hospitals in the Midwest, including Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Ohio. While all of us are familiar with blood donation, we may not know how it really helps people or how safe it is right now. Most of us are focused on managing life in a new world, but there are still people going through medical events who require blood. People undergoing cancer treatments, those with chronic health conditions, or someone having a baby may require blood, and we can help. Donating blood is always safe. Centers are regulated and required to follow medical guidelines that safeguard the donor and staff. Since coronavirus hit, additional standards have been put in place. Also, donating blood is an essential service, so you can go even if you have restrictions in your state. And we need blood. High school and college closures alone deplete donations by 20%, and each of us who donates can save 3 lives with 1 pint of blood. So, in a time where we all need a little hope, reach out and help someone by donating. In Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Ohio, go to versity.org and schedule an appointment. Outside of those areas, go to your local blood bank. Again, that's Versity, VersitySiti.org and schedule your appointment today.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults.
Welcome to the Mighty Parenting Podcast. This is a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, stress relief coach, emotional wellness speaker, and host of the Mighty Parenting Podcast. I want to remind you to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player so you never miss an episode. And after you do that, remind a friend to do the same. This also gives you someone who you can talk to after you listen to a show, bounce ideas off of, and work together to make your parenting journey better and easier. Today, we are talking about one of the core concepts of Mighty Parenting and of raising happy, successful, emotionally healthy adults, and that is communication. I know we all have issues with our kids and significant others, not to mention bosses, coworkers, neighbors, extended family, community members. Good communication skills can help us to navigate those problems and maybe even prevent some of them. Well, today we have Jude Bijou with us to teach us about communication. Jude is a respected psychotherapist, a professional educator, a workshop leader, and a consultant. Her award-winning book, Attitude Reconstruction, gives us a blueprint for building a better life and is one of my favorite personal development tools. Jude, it is so great to have you back on Mighty Parenting. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Sandy. My pleasure.
So you were actually with us on episode 103. It was a long time ago. And we talked there about understanding and managing our emotions. And today we're going a different route. We're talking about communication and resolving differences. So why is good communication so valuable?
Well, because we can either produce understanding and forward movement, or we can produce separation, alienation, isolation. Which do we prefer? But the thing about it is that we are really all in the dark. We didn't get a communication class, and so we modeled our communication from those around us, how our parents communicated, how our peers, because I ask at the beginning of the communication workshops, how many of you had parents that were good communicators? And maybe one out of 30 raises their hand. And so what did we pick up? We picked up their crummy style, which doesn't work very well, especially when emotions are around. And like, I can give you some examples, like it could go, you never help with the dishes, or you can say, I need some help washing the dishes right now. Or are you ready to go home? Or I'm ready to go home now. You're monopolizing the conversation, or I have something I want to say. We always do what you want to do. Versus, I don't want to spend the weekend with your parents. This isn't working. Big, vague generalization. I want to talk about where we are in our relationship and discuss our options going forward. You can just tell the same topic, the same general gist, but the way that we say it is going to depend on the outcome that we're going to produce.
There was an enormous difference for me in every single one of those examples that you gave. And I don't even know what to do with the first one. You know, if I imagine my husband or one of my kids saying something like that to me, immediately I can feel myself getting tense and defensive. Whereas on the second, the flip side of that, it was so simple and specific. Now, I mean, sometimes I might get a little bit of feeling about it, but it wasn't the same thing as the first time. I felt very, I call it poked at. You know, like
absolutely.
Someone's going, poke, 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 you.
Exactly, because that's the thing. The first example, what I call communication violations. And the second example was the same topic, talked about abiding by the four rules of good communication, because there's only four rules, which is really great. And three are about talking. And the fourth rule is to just listen. So if we can just master three simple rules, then we are able to talk with our neighbor, with our child, with our boss, a friend. It doesn't matter how big the topic is, or what it is, we have the tools of the communication rules to lean back on, and so that then we can feel assured that we're doing everything we can to make a good, healthy communication.
Well, mighty parents will be really happy to get some more rules around speaking, because I always make them stop and listen first. Because when it comes to our kids in particular, we really have a tendency to go in and preach thinking that we're teaching.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
None of that works. So I always make them.
That's cute.
Yeah, I always make them stop and listen first. And so actually getting to talk about what they get to say is going to be really exciting. So why don't you tell us, Jude, what are these first three rules?
Okay, so the first rule is that you only get to talk about yourself. Now, because this is our domain, and it's really enough to try to get ourselves so we're feeling the emotions of joy, love, and peace. Why, rather than trying to get other people to conform, So if I talk about what's true for me, what I say, what my I is, then I'm in myself. I am saying my truth. But the opposite of that is what you say, that you-ing, telling other people about themselves. And this is blaming, sarcasm, teasing, attacking, finger-pointing, giving advice. All of those things are going to create separation and accentuate your differences. So on one hand, I'm talking about myself. You know, oh, gee, I want to just stay in this evening. Versus, well, what do you want to do? Talk about yourself. Gee, I'm tired. I'd like to just stay in tonight. Nice and clear, rather than, oh, what do you want for dinner? You know, such a thing. Well, what do you want? Well, say what you want instead. Well, I could go for some Chinese food or some Mexican food. Great. Rather than, well, what do you want? What is putting it all out there rather than owning the conversation as I need to step into it and talk about myself. So that's the first rule. That's Go ahead.
So there's two things there. One is just kind of a funny because I was notorious for my family would ask, you know, what do you want for dinner? And finally, I figured out what the real answer to that question was, but it took me a long time. The answer to the question is, I don't want to have to think about it, plan it, make it, or clean it up. And that worked. When I realized that's what I wanted, then, and I said that, they were like, okay. And if there's a food I don't want, then I'll say that, like, oh, I don't want to get Italian or I don't want whatever. But it's not often that I'm sitting there going, oh, this is what I do want, because I do so much cooking that I get to eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it. So I've seen how much better it works when it's not just the fact that you're saying I, it's that we take the time to think about ourselves and what it is that we actually want. Because when we start with the you, I think that one of the problems with that, not that there aren't a myriad others, but one of the problems is we're putting the onus on someone else to figure out what's going to make us happy.
Exactly.
So I have one question on that though, Jude. Because we've all heard, oh, speak with I statements. And one of the things that I've had thrown at me is people thinking they're speaking with I statements, but to me, it still feels like you. It starts with, you know, I feel whenever you do this.
Oh, right. I think that you, or I feel that you. That's just a classic way that we try to pretend that we're doing an I statement. But the subject of the sentence is about yourself. I feel like you, blah, 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 is really a you. It's a veiled you. Or I feel like you're doing this. No, I feel sad. I feel angry. I feel frustrated. I feel anxious. That's me sharing about myself.
Okay, so it stops there. It's that why piece that gets us into trouble, because that's where the blame comes in. I feel
exactly.
Angry is just me in this moment. And that's all I need to say. I don't need to tell them why is what I'm hearing you say.
But if you can, you can say, because I'm hungry, because I thought that we were going to meet at 8:30, whatever. So you can put the because I, but it's not because you didn't do this. Because of you. No, it's about me. I'm frustrated because I have so much I want to do today. And I was expecting that we would be meeting at 8:30.
So keep the whole sentence, the whole comment, the whole paragraph, the whole page that you're speaking.
It's about yourself. And what I thought you were going to do is sometimes people say, oh, well, that, you know, like in church, they said that's selfish if you're just always talking about me. But again, we're sharing what is true for ourselves. And it's just, I'm only going to speak my I 50% of the time, because the other 50%, I'm going to just be listening. But I'm sharing about myself. And otherwise, how are people going to get to know me if I don't disclose what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, my requests are, you know, what doesn't work for me, all of those kind of things. We've got to step in to our relationships by disclosing information about ourselves.
Oh, I like that. Okay, so what's the second rule?
Okay, so I is the first rule, and that is going to take me from feeling like a victim. Oh, I can't do anything. Oh, it's your fault. To I'm in my power. This is what's true for me. So that's the I. It really brings joy. I am just being true to myself. So that's the first rule. Talk about myself. Say my I. The second rule is to stay specific. And this means that instead of going, oh, you always are like that, or you never, or he's so stupid, or this is dumb, all of these big global generalities, we've got to say specific, because that's what we do. From music is in specifics, architecture, computers, engineering, finances, medicine, directions, traffic rules, all deal in specifics. But nobody told us we need to communicate in specifics. But if I do, then you can understand what I'm saying. I'm saying my I about a specific situation, not big global thing about, you know, you always, or it's never going to work. All of those aren't saying any good information about yourself.
So if it's my kids, and there's mm-hmm. yet again a disaster all over my house, I can come in and say, I need this room to be picked up. I need
exactly.
all these things, or I need the backpacks put away, or I need yes. the stuff taken off the chairs so I can sit down. But we need yes. to be specific and concrete in what we're telling them we need.
Exactly. Specific, and the other word to use is concrete. Absolutely. The person who's receiving it knows exactly what's expected. And you can have a time frame. And I'd like that done before dinner. Not like, oh, yeah, I'll do it sometime. It's like, and I'd like that before dinner. Would you please clean up the backpacks and the living room so that the house feels good in the evening for when we're going to sit around and enjoy each other's company? Great. But you can put in a time thing, because it's not, well, get back to me. Ugh. Then I'm sitting around waiting by the telephone or checking my text because I didn't say, and I need to have an answer by this amount of time. So it's specifics are really all in all areas. We have to like dial in to what is the specific upset. So we're talking about the messy room. We're not that you're always a slob. That conveys no useful information at all, and it alienates the person. Nobody likes to be called a slob, and to be described like that. Because underneath the "you're always a slob," there is a specific. There is a specific. Oh gosh, the garbage smells, and it was your week to take the garbage out, and now it's smelling. Okay, it's not like you flaked. It's like, I need you to take the garbage as we agreed.
I think the other thing that helps us with as parents is it gets us to look at the actions, the behaviors, the consequences, and those things instead of essentially emotionally manipulating people. I think that's what happens with our communication is, let's say it's the kid's job to take out the trash. And this isn't something they're great at doing. And we come home and we come in the house and you smell that trash and you get triggered and you're just like, oh my gosh, they didn't take out the trash again. Johnny, get in here. This trash exactly. needs to go out. You never take out the trash. Whereas if we're thinking through what you say, I need the trash to go out right now. I don't want to be yep. around this smell. And then when we slow down our brain enough to think about what we need, I think that leads us into that step of being able to think about the issue and go, huh, this happens a lot. And so then we can have a conversation with them about, I need this to happen every Thursday by 5:00.
Exactly.
Is there anything that would prevent you from doing that? And that brings us to a place that we talk about here at Mighty Parenting, where we talk about co-creating our life with our kids and bringing them into the conversations and having them help make the decisions, rather than being in the place of, oh, they didn't take the trash out and now I got to take away the phone and I got to do this and I got to do that, which is all hard on us too. Whereas if we work from the communication side of things, I can see where this can make life smoother. It doesn't mean our kids are never going to have an issue, but I can see this leading us into solving the root causes of the problems, or at least at a very minimum, be demonstrating for our kids good communication skills. So while they may or may not practice them right now, they would at least have that example to take out into the world with them.
Exactly. And there's another really good point that you're making, and that is that sometimes we need to set really specific consequences for if a behavior is done or not done, so that the person has a choice. So if you take out the trash, then everybody's happy. And if you don't, well, gosh, that means that if you didn't do it by bedtime, that you don't get to use your phone the next day or whatever. But the consequences have to be reasonable and specific. It's not like you're grounded. You're grounded for a month. And like I say, that makes no sense at all. The punishment has to fit the crime, and it has to be specific and doable.
Okay, so what's our third step? We have first rule is talk about ourselves. Second is be specific and concrete.
Yes, and
what's the third?
The third is kindness. And kindness, I think of, I put together offering appreciations, praise, focusing on the positive, and offering gratitude. So it's looking for what's going to move a conversation and an interaction forward, because kindness fosters love. And who gets enough appreciation? So you say, oh, I really appreciate it. I love how well you cleaned up your room last week. It looked like that the Molly maids had been in here, and it made me smile the whole rest of the afternoon. Great. I am giving good, positive kindness for behaviors that I like. Or we can share gratitudes. We can do that like around the table. Because rather than focusing on the opposite, the violation, which is the negative, the half empty, that is only going to produce more anger and more separation. Whereas if we focus on the positive and offer praise and thanks so much for helping out this afternoon, and boy, I'm just really grateful that you came over when you did. That just goes so far for bringing love. Right? We're acknowledging what we appreciate. So that's.
And I think it helps people feel that they're seen and appreciated and heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you're not talking about marrying this with the other two. You're talking about looking for other opportunities.
Well, but also because there's something that we probably won't go into today, which is called the I-5. And it's how that you can make a communication about everything, about any possible topic, about by using those rules. What's the specific topic? What's true for me? So that's the specific. This is the topic. This is what's true for me, and this is what I want, this is the boundary, this is the request, and this is what I appreciate. This is what I appreciate about you and about the situation. And so it can be that we just have to remember to give more appreciations rather than focusing on what's not working, focus on what's going to move everything forward. What is looking at the bright side rather than what doesn't work. And, you know, it's so draining to be around people who are always, you know, the Debbie Downers. It's like, no, let's figure out how we can work together and make a win-win.
Well, and I think that when we do that, it helps us be more real about the situation, because we can get so caught up in the thing that is bothering us or our own need that we forget about the effort that someone else has already put into the relationship or the work or the situation or the house or the job or whatever.
Nice.
And taking the time to look for that will help us feel better about the situation, and that will help us achieve a better outcome too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have eyes and specifics and kindness. Those are the three rules. So that's pretty easy, you know, simple, but not easy. But it means,
and then when we simply listen.
And then that's the fourth rule. That's the fourth rule, because everybody likes to be understood, right? And so that mm-hmm. means that I always tell people that they can go and get a roll of duct tape, because it comes in colors now, and put that duct tape over your mouth and just listen. That we just, well, again, when I ask in the communication class, who feels listened to enough? Barely, maybe one or two people, but everybody feels like they're always listening to everybody else, rather than I have to 50% of the time, not rigidly, but about 50% of the time, talk and be part of the conversation. And the other is to be the other half of that conversation. And that is seek to understand. You don't have to agree, but you need to step into another person's shoes and say, okay, well, your viewpoints can be as valid as mine, and I understand you. And as soon as we convey understanding, again, we melt differences, and we feel good. So the thing is, it's just to listen, not multitask. Oh, yeah, I'm listening as you're typing or reading the news or whatever. Just paying attention and just listening and saying, oh, tell me more. Oh, that's very interesting. So and we're encouraging each other to speak up. And so that there are listening violations and like interrupting, leaping into problem solving, offering advice, unsolicited advice or opinions, or finishing other sentences or changing the topic or debating. All of those kind of things are, and the antithesis of just listen. Just listen. I don't have to tell them how they should see it or offer my opinions or interrogate them. I just listen and just say, oh, tell me more about that. Just tell me more. So I'm honoring and encouraging other people to talk about their I, about specific things that bother them or that they are dealing with or that are good news or whatever, but it's just listening. And it's a magic. It's magic, because that's what you can do around the dinner table is what I say, talk and listen. And you give everybody like 2 minutes. You have a little timer. You set it for 2 minutes. And now Dad, he talks about his day and what's on his mind, and everybody else just listens. The timer goes off, and now Junior talks, and he talks about his day and, you know, what's gone on and so on. And then the timer goes off, and the next person talks. And then everybody gets a chance to be understood, and they get to practice speaking up. So that's a great way for busy parents to connect with each other. 5 minutes. Just before all of the chaos of the evening gets going, 5 minutes, 2 minutes to just listen to you, and then the timer goes off, and now you're going to listen to me. That we've downloaded, because I haven't talked about you. I've just talked about myself, and you've just received what I've been communicating. And haven't given you advice or tried to solve the problems, just listened.
And you take these concepts and you roll them further into helping us actually resolve differences.
Exactly, because these these are the four rules: eyes, specifics, kindness, and listening. That's all we need to resolve any difference. Okay, are we ready to go there?
Yep, we definitely need to go there.
Okay. So it starts by using this talk and listen technique that I just described, where everybody puts on their duct tape, because this can be a whole group of people, or it can just be two people. Two people resolve a difference, or a family, or a work situation, whatever. It doesn't really matter. So there's just the two things. First is, well, there's three things. First, we have to figure out what the specific topic is. So,
okay.
Whatever. And it could be that that you have a whole list of topics. If you go and you have a family meeting and say, all right, what are some of the topics we need to talk about? Write them all down, go around the room, have everybody say about topics they're interested in discussing, and write them down. And then go, all right, which are we going to talk about first? Because we have to deal with one specific topic at a time. That's the part of the specifics. Just, we're not leaping from topic to topic. So we figure out what the specific topic is. We gather all of the different topics that need to be discussed. And when we're in discussing that one topic, if other subjects come up, we can say, oh, let's add that to the list. But right now, let's solve this situation that we've started on. So we have, you want to give an example about what we might want to resolve a conflict for? Let's say we're going to figure out where we're going to go for a family vacation.
Oh, I like that one.
Okay, so that's just the topic. Where are we going to go this summer on a family vacation? So there's two steps. We've already done the initial of finding the specific topic. All right. So now we're going to go around the room, but it could just be two people, or it could be half a dozen people, or whatever. And where each person is going to talk for 1 minute, 2 minutes, whatever, because you're going to need a little timer, and you can use that on your iPhone or a little kitchen timer. Everybody gets to talk about where they want to go. Oh, I'd like to go to the beach. I'd like to go to the mountains. Oh, I'd like to go up to Canada. I'd like to go, you know, to the Southwest. And we have everybody's opinion, but we just listen. We're not debating each other's positions. We're just listening to everybody's truth, everybody's eye, about where they want to go for their for the summer vacation, the family vacation. So because everybody will say where they want to go and why they want to go there. Okay, because I just, you know, I yearn to see the Atlantic Ocean, you know, and I want to go surfing. I want to learn how to surf, or whatever it is. And then the next person talks about why they want to go where they want to go. And so, again, it's not debating and not, well, we did that last year. No, we just have to listen to everybody's eye about that specific topic.
Well, and it's interesting, Jude, because when I've done our Mighty Parenting shows on planning family vacation, doing it this way really sets you up to what I call get curious. And it's mm-hmm. not just where does each person want to go, but it's that why they want to go there. Because as everyone goes around and says their different whys, another idea may pop up that fits everybody's why, even if it doesn't fit everybody's location that they chose. You know, if someone says, I really want to be at the ocean, and one kid happened to pick an East Coast and one picked a West Coast, well, the location may not matter so much as that, you know, Susie Q gets to get in the ocean.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter that it's the Atlantic or the Pacific.
Exactly.
So when we really listen and get curious, we can head off problems before they even come up.
The key here is that we're not looking for a solution. In step one.
Not in step two.
Yes.
Okay.
But step one, we just have to learn about everybody's views and needs. until everybody feels understood. So you go around the room and everybody says where they want to go. And then it says, oh, hey, I want to add some more. I have some other reasons why I want to go to New Mexico. Okay. So you keep going around and with an even amount of time. It's not like one person is the point person and only gets to talk about what they want. Everybody gets to say what's true for them, their I, about the specific topic. So
you keep going around until everybody feels like they've gotten to say everything they want
exactly.
to say.
And there's no debating what, you know, that's a stupid idea or a stupid reason. No, that's what's true for them. So everybody has to say what they want, because after when we go to step two, that you got to forget all of the reasons why. We've already gone over that, because step two is, all right, we've got to together, underline together, find the best win-win solution. So now step two is putting together everything that we've understood to find the best win-win. And it's not going to be my way or your way. It's going to be, how are we going to give and take? What's going to be the best fit? Well, what are we going to do? What's, you know, is this going to be okay for you? But you just keep going around and around, and you can do that same thing about, all right, let's go around in the circle each another for everybody, say their minute for a minute or a minute and a half, something like that. That's really a long time. 90 seconds is longer than you realize when you have all of those eyes looking at you. But again, maybe it's just a minute, but you're saying what you want and what your idea is for the best solution that honors both people. And oftentimes, some emotions come up, okay? And if emotions come up, you just take a break. You just take a few minutes, cool down. Have a little cry, or, you know, if you have a little hissy fit, but go off into the room, into another room, because you don't want to try to have a discussion when somebody is clearly upset. So it's like, oh, well, maybe we need to put this conversation off until after dinner, or let's look at it again on the weekend, or something like that. So, because what we need is that energy where people are receptive to together working to find a solution. And it's not going to be anybody's going to get all of that they want. It's going to be the best fit.
I love that. And I want to remind everybody that episode 103, Jude talks to us about our emotions and how to deal with that. So go check out that episode and tie that in here. And I love this. And so I want to do a quick summary, because it's so simple and clear, not necessarily easy as we learn how to do it, because it's unlearning some very bad habits and learning some new ways of doing things and being willing to be vulnerable and to share about ourselves.
Excellent. So it's vulnerable is a good word. I do want to say one other thing is that when you come up with the best solution that everybody buys into, all right, well, this next week, next year we'll go to the mountains, but this year we're going to go to the water. Write down what the agreement is. Get specific when you're going to go and when you're going to decide that you're going to go, and write it down, because memories fade. And, you know, a couple of weeks later, maybe somebody forgot that we've already decided where we're going to go, or whatever, you know, the chores that somebody agreed, oh yeah, I'll be responsible for this. And then they start to slide, because if you've written it down, then you just put, remember when we had that family meeting and we talked about the distribution of chores so that the house can be running in a way that's acceptable to everybody? Look, this is what you agreed to do. So you've got to get specific and write it down.
Yeah, we have a dry erase board in our kitchen just for doing that kind of a thing, exactly. So that people know Go check the board. If you forgot about a conversation, go check the board.
Exactly. Because our memories are, you know, a little askew to our own reality. And if we have it,
right.
If we have it, what we all agreed to, you know, when we were nice and clear and listening to each other and talking with eyes about specific things, this is what we agreed to.
All right. So if we want to have good communication and be able to resolve differences, we start out with the four rules of good communication. And that was the eyes, only talk about yourself, no twisting afterwards, just the whole thing needs to be about you and your needs.
Uh-huh.
Stay specific. Show kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Show kindness and appreciation. Simply listen, which should be at least 50% of the time listening, if not more.
Exactly.
And then invoke those roles when you want to resolve differences. So start out choosing one specific topic you're going to work on, then use the two steps to resolving differences. One is alternately talking and listening, which I love because, again, it gets everybody a chance to feel heard, which is, I find in certain relationships that's half the problem, is that I don't feel heard or they don't feel heard. And so doing that helps that. And then all of that is done when everybody has said everything they want to say about it using the four rules of good communication. Then together you find a workable solution and write down that solution with the specifics. And we'll have, of course, that in the show notes and a link to your website. But Jude, would you share your website now for listeners who want to get more from you?
Absolutely. It's www.attitudereconstruction.com. And there's videos, there's articles, there's a quiz to take, there's a copious amount of information there. And then there's also my book, which you can get through the website or on Amazon, which is just so practical and goes over all of this communication and all about emotions, about how to change your thinking, consult your intuition, and how to take action. So.
Yep. And we will have links to all of that, as I said, in the show notes. So in case you don't remember it, we're good. Thank you, Jude, for once again taking the time to share your wonderful expertise with us to help us live happier, better lives.
It's totally my pleasure. Thanks, Sandy.
And thank you, parents, mighty parents, for being here today, for being part of the community, for communicating with me, for sharing with me your thoughts and maybe topics that you need, and for sharing the podcast with other parents. I appreciate you doing that. And remember, if you're here, if you're listening, you are a mighty parent. You got this. And I will see you next week.